Welcome to episode 13 of the SWNZ podcast, the podcast for New Zealand Star Wars fans. My name is Matt.
And my name is Christy.
Today we're going to run through a list of recent news announcements, looking forward to an exciting year in 2019, and have a bit of a chat about recent local store reports.
The headline news is that J.J. Abrams has revealed through social media that filming has wrapped on episode 9.
But what is its title?
We still don't know. And even the picture that he used to accompany this announcement didn't show us too much. It shows the three main actors. We have John Boyega in the midst of a hug with Oscar Isaac and Daisy Ridley. Daisy Ridley's face is hidden. We can see some of the costume details, but this still doesn't really tell us a lot about the film. And of course, we still don't know what it's called.
And we haven't seen any footage or trailers. Look, we're going to talk about Celebration shortly. There's definitely going to be something at Celebration related episode 9. It would be fantastic if there's something in advance of that, because that's still a month and a half away.
And only a select proportion of Star Wars fans can attend.
Yeah, and April is getting a fair way through the year for a December release compared to the cadence of the marketing of the other movies, but I guess it's out of our control. Definitely something in April when Celebration comes around. Wish something in advance of that. We're probably going to have to wait and see, aren't we?
And I'm hoping that once they have sort of opened the floodgates, as it were, and give us some footage and some more details at Celebration, that we may see subsequent follow-ups at D23 or San Diego Comic-Con or some of the other major American conventions where they might slip us just a little bit more so that it isn't a complete dry spell right up until the film's release.
So D23 is a big Disney expo, and they do make some Star Wars announcements at that. That's every 2 years, is that right?
Yes. They often make big Disney company announcements at D23. They cover things like the parks. They often have a lot of the celebrities and actors in attendance. So it'd be interesting to see if they do have a significant Star Wars presence there because it comes so soon after Celebration, or whether they will just keep most of the Star Wars content for Celebration and this year's D23 will focus on the more classic Disney properties, like the upcoming Dumbo and Aladdin and those films.
Yeah, I guess it depends on when information is available and what the rest of their marketing strategy is. But that is another opportunity, separate from Celebration, that we might be hearing some things. So, like I said, it's going to be a huge year. As well as Episode 9 being wrapped, we've also heard that the filming for the TV series or the streaming series The Mandalorian has also wrapped. So that's starring Pedro Pascal as The Mandalorian. I'm really looking forward to this. I think it's pretty solid that we're actually going to see this year. It's going to be near the end of this year. I believe it's going to be 10 episodes. That was the number that was given in a New York Times article that actually talked about the budget. I have seen other people refer to it as being only 8 episodes, but I haven't seen a solid source for that. So somewhere between 8 and 10, hopefully 10 episodes is what we're going to see out of this TV series. A nice tight bundle of episodes, very high quality, very high budget is what we're expecting. And Taika Waititi, the New Zealand director who has a relationship with Marvel, of course, filmed the last episode of the series, and he actually said that the series will match the tone of the Star Wars original trilogy. He's a fan who understands that tone and that perspective, so we'll take him at his word and look forward to it on that basis. It's also been mentioned that Taika's episode apparently involves a scene with dozens, if not 50-odd, stormtroopers in it, original trilogy-type stormtroopers. So that's going to be an exciting sort of thing to see on screen.
Yeah, it does give us a little bit of a glimpse that while we have a vague idea of the time period, Mandalorians, bounty hunters, they tend to work a little bit on the fringe. We weren't sure how much interaction we would see this sort of world and the bounty hunters and the denizens interacting with established things of that time period. So knowing that we are going to see stormtroopers in this means that we're going to see a little bit more, I think, than they could have done. They could have done it removed from the main stories. You know, these are people that are hiding, not coming into contact, but the fact that there's that many stormtroopers is going to be really neat to see on screen. I hope that these episodes are a significant length, because this is a series shot for a streaming service specifically. They are not restricted by standard time slot lengths,
so they could be a solid
interruptions
hour, couldn't they?
By ads. They could be a solid hour.
And by solid hour, I mean rather than the 40-45 minutes that we get out of a normal hour that's cut down with adverts.
So we really see what they do with that unrestricted storytelling format, with the amount of stories that you can do, because each episode doesn't need to be the same length or an exact length.
They could be more than an hour, couldn't they? I mean, look at other shows. Stranger Things has made use of that opportunity in their episode lengths when they've
and whether these them. Will be episodic stories or, like you said, Stranger Things, where it's a main long story split up into episodes. We may see something like this.
Different directors for different episodes, so they could be quite different tones for each episode. But I am liking this reference back to the original trilogy. Won't go into a lot of the leaked or spy photos or anything, but Jon Favreau, who is behind all of this, has put a few things out onto social media, like that photo of the IG-88 droid, or at least an IG assassin droid that looks very much like IG-88. I love the design of that bounty hunter from The Empire Strikes Back, so I personally find that extremely exciting. I'll see what other sort of original trilogy touches will be inserted into the mix. So directly following on from that conversation about Episode 9 and The Mandalorian is the announcement that's just come out about the Triple Force Friday. So this year, on October the 4th, the Force Friday event has been referred to as a Triple Force Friday because it is going to feature the launch of merchandise related to Episode 9, The Mandalorian, and also the upcoming game Star Wars Jedi The Fallen Order from EA and Respawn, which is a brand new action-adventure game coming out at the end of the year. So the launch of merchandise associated with The Mandalorian gives us solid encouragement that the TV series is going to be following soon after that. And of course the movie Episode 9 is due on the 20th of December in the United States, so we'll get it likely on the midnight of the Thursday that just precedes that.
The timing of this Triple Force Friday is interesting. For the last two main saga films, Episode 7, Episode 8, the Force Friday merchandise launches were at the very start of September. The first one was September 4th, the subsequent one was September 1st. This one is a whole month later in October 4th, which is really pushing it quite close to the release date. All of the main saga films have been released in December for this new trilogy. So it's not like they're pushing it later in the year because the release date is later. A whole month later gives us a slight pause that they're really going to not reveal too much.
There'll be a gap, there'll be a little bit of a drought of Star Wars merchandise immediately before that. Could be a few months, you know, where there isn't a lot of new stuff coming out.
Most Star Wars licenses that all have merchandise agreements will be working on merchandise for these new ones. So I think we may see kind of a little bit of a desert through the middle of the year because all these companies will be focusing on the product for not one but three different movies and TV shows and things that they want to be working on. But in the same way, that means that we may see much more merchandise for this new video game that we've ever seen in the past.
That's the implication.
Didn't really get that much merchandise for Battlefront. Sure, there was a few sort of tie-in t-shirts, a few sort of small things, but it wasn't hugely widespread. There was a novel, but this could indicate that there's going to be a lot more merchandise to it that they feel like it's going to be significant enough to lump in with something as massive as Episode 9. We know that they're really going to want to burst out the gate with their first live-action TV show. We were expecting a little bit of a merchandise push for that, even though it's not going to be something we're as familiar with. I think fans will still be really excited to get their first hands on action figures and books and anything else that may tie into this. But it's interesting to see that they have decided to lump this all in together because that's going to put a real pressure on fans' wallets when everything is releasing on one day.
Well, Force Fridays are fun in some regards, but they're stressful in others. Yes. You can't get everything. And the ones that we've been to, even the midnight ones, you see stuff disappear off the shelves pretty fast in some instances. The last Force Friday that related to the Last Jedi, most stuff was available, you know, for a while thereafter, but some things did disappear pretty quick.
And it's hard to anticipate or to guess which particular collectibles are going to be the ones that really disappear and other ones that will linger for ages, and you'll be able to get them at massively reduced prices by just waiting until after the films and these things have been on shelves for a few months. Yeah. But that is going to put a lot of pressure on collectors, particularly with some of these really new popular lines. It used to be predominantly the 4-inch figures, but now with Black Series being such a huge part of a collecting focus for a lot of people, that's a much higher price point. And having not one but three different features to release merchandise off, we don't know if that means we'll get three times the merch, whether we'll see the same number of episode 9 figures as they made for episode 7 and 8 alongside a significant number of action figures made for The Mandalorian and for the video game, or whether it will be just there'll be a smaller percentage for each one to for fans to manage, or whether they're just going to go, okay, this is the last saga film that we're going to release, we want just a massive big blitz.
Yeah, I think that's probably more likely the case. I don't think we'll see a significant reduction in the episode 9 range, and I think they're going to be wanting to hype up The Mandalorian quite a bit because it's strongly tied into the launch of their streaming service, which they've invested heavily in and they need to be competitive of, and yeah, there'll be hype associated with them.
They want as many people as possible signing up for that streaming service on day one to get that content.
Okay, so just to wrap up that conversation about the things that are going to be coming out in the next little while, there's also the Cassian Andor live-action television series. Now, that's not going to be launched this year, but I do throw it into the conversation because with a bit of luck, we might actually be hearing a little bit more about that, at least as the year progresses or later in the year. They won't be hyping it up in any way that overshadows or complicates the messages associated with The Mandalorian or Episode 9, but if they're trying to push the Disney Plus streaming service, then they will be wanting to tell us about what's coming up. So maybe this year we'll be hearing a little bit more about the Cassian Andor live action series and or anything else that they've got in the works in terms of Star Wars and television or the movies that are going to be coming after episode 9 at this point.
It'll be interesting to see, just as a sort of side note about the other TV series, it'll be interesting to see once we get past this main core trilogy, whether we'll see the same level of secrecy and very considered releasing of timing of trailers and how much information is being let out as we start to get more and more and more, whether they'll always keep that approach to any Star Wars content that goes forward, TV shows, movies, or whether things will lessen a little because these are standalone films, and whether there'll be sort of a burnout of constantly keeping people in the dark.
Yeah, no, you're right, it will be interesting to see. I don't think they know, because I think they're waiting to see what happens in terms of response and reception.
Because it's a secrecy almost unheard of in a lot of filmmaking. Yeah. We know Marvel to a certain extent does it, particularly with the Avengers films and things like that. But most films, we would have trailers and posters and a lot more information about it than we do have for episode 9. We can't even call it by its real name yet.
Yeah.
You know, and the fan speculation is hitting a frenzy point because we know something's got to happen soon.
So there's going to be a lot happening at the end of 2019. Building up to that, we've still got Resistance running, and that's coming to a head in terms of the plot lines of that overlapping with the plot lines of The Force Awakens. That's an interesting development. And the return of the Clone Wars will be happening in the not too distant future. So we've got that sort of Star Wars material to look forward to and to tide us over a little bit until the live action stuff.
It's a little bit odd. This last holiday season, as many fans will have noted, we didn't have a major Star Wars release. There wasn't a sort of a big TV series like The Mandalorian. We didn't have a feature film. So this coming Christmas, it's almost like they're catching up and they're giving us a ton of stuff all at once. That's going to be sort of a level of intensity I don't think we've ever seen. In terms of like even the fever pitch around episode 3. It was contained, it was just the one film. But with this having, you know, TV shows and video games and a movie, it's gonna be interesting to see how that fares, whether fans will just eat it up and still want more, or whether fans will feel more strongly focused towards one or the other. Particularly in regards to collectibles, it can be hard when you just want to buy it all. We may see fans deciding which things to really focus on.
Yeah, that has to be inevitable. As we get all sorts of different flavours and products aimed at different target audiences, there is going to be a little bit of a split in the landscape. Both the fandom and the production is all going to spread out a little bit, I think.
Particularly with the Force Fridays, we also see, particularly in the recent years, these Force Fridays bring about collections from brands that don't usually make Star Wars stuff. So it'll really be interesting to see what random licensed companies will crop up out of the woodwork. We've had all sorts of things, you know, motorbike helmets and skateboards and, you know, women's shoes. It's like quite a spread range. It'll really be interesting to see what comes out on this Force Friday and, of course, what will be available to us locally in New Zealand. We assume that we will get it at our midnight.
It's hard to know exactly what local retailers will do.
Whether they feel that that's a financial motive to open at midnight versus just in the morning, whether there's going to be enough stuff, whether Disney will push it to be a big hype everywhere, or whether they will basically want international companies to hold off until it's launched in the States, which is generally about a day later for us.
Okay, so we'll keep an eye on that and hopefully learn more over the next little while, and we'll talk about it more in future podcasts. So as well as all of this media that's coming out, there are some other notable events taking place in 2019. We've got the opening of the Galaxy's Edge sections or parks or whatever, however you want to refer to them, in the two Disneyland parks in the United States. So just to reiterate that, just to refresh everybody's memory. So Galaxy's Edge at Disneyland in Anaheim is due to open in the US summer, which is our winter, i.e. between June and August. So coming up quite soon, a little bit after the Star Wars Celebration event. And on the other coast at Walt Disney World in Florida, the Galaxy's Edge Park is due to open in fall of 2019, i.e. our spring, which is going to be later, probably closer to November. But there's a lot of photos coming out from both those parks. We've seen the Millennium Falcon completed on the Disneyland West Coast side and almost completed on the East Coast side, quite possibly completed at the time that we're actually speaking right now. That's been coming along quite well, and we're seeing other things put into place at these new developments, that the turrets, the other spaceships.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, normally with a Disneyland ride, it would be self-contained, and it's easy for the Imagineers to keep things under wraps because of the huge size of these expansions, the biggest that Disney have ever added to a US Disney park. There's simply no way to hide that all. So from areas in the park and from parking structures nearby, it gives people a slightly elevated view, and you can look down and see just how much they have populated it. What looked like a barren stretch of mud is now filled with trees and structures that people can see. So it really is exciting to see just how close to completion this first Galaxy's Edge is, and I'm really, really keen to hear when they're going to give a solid release date, and of course when fans are going to be able to get into the parks and start giving us photos and videos of what these experiences are going to be like. I'm sure many of us in New Zealand are going to want to make the trip over at some point to experience that for ourselves.
Yeah, the construction and development is ticking along extremely well and on target. Not a lot of real, other than actually seeing those things develop and evolve, not a lot of actual real new detail, but we will come back and revisit as more information comes out on both of those, of course.
And I'm hoping that we will see a panel specifically about this at Celebration. We may, because Celebration is so close to when these are open, they have been releasing a little bit of sort of teaser information, like the video that they put up showing the state of construction. They're not as secretive as they are about the films, obviously, because you can't hide 14 acres from prying eyes, but I'm really hoping they give us a little bit more information at Celebration.
Okay, so speaking of Star Wars Celebration, that's the official convention that's taking place in Chicago very shortly, but from the 11th of April to the 16th of April. Now, that's a longer event than it has been before. The timing means that it's going to take place during the 20th anniversary of Episode 1, so that may end up being a little bit of a focus. A big 5-day event, lots going on. We're going to be excited that you're going to be able to be there and report on things in real time, so we'll be able to show photos and maybe even do a podcast while you're over there to get information back for the local fans that can't make it, so they can see what's going on and hear the news that's coming out. What sort of things are you looking forward to?
Of course, I'm really keen to see what new companies might have booths there, what panels they'll have. Are they going to give us an Episode 9 main stage panel? Are they going to show us anything? Who is going to be in attendance? Obviously, the last Celebration, they had a huge panel for the 40th anniversary of A New Hope. There was a huge tribute to Carrie Fisher with some incredible people there, like George Lucas, John Williams, Harrison Ford, like everybody that you would hope to have on a stage at one point, they did. And that's pretty hard to top, but it'll be interesting to see what panels and things they'll have for fans this year, because we don't have a new film that's just come out for them to talk about in any depth. And certainly they're not going to be able to give us much in-depth information about anything coming up, because that's all at the end of the year. So I'm keen to see what sort of panels they'll have, what they can tell us. a lot of the fan-run content, the collecting track, the fan communities like the costuming clubs, and of course all the retailers. I'm going to be running around the dealer halls as much as I can, photographing everything that's going to come out. Sometimes these are previews, sometimes they're available to buy straight at the show. So I'm really keen to just see how much stuff they're going to have put into this convention to justify expanding it out by another full day. Celebrations have never been this long before, so they must feel like there is a need to expand it out, because that's more added cost for all the fans attending. They must feel like they have enough that fans will feel like it was a worthwhile trip.
So just to reiterate, that convention is taking place and starting on the 11th of April US time. Christy will be there, so keep an eye on the SWNZ website and the SWNZ social media for photos and reports from that actual event. Bringing things back close to home again, there's a couple of events just worth reminding people of. We've mentioned these on the SWNZ website, so if you want more details, jump on and search for these over the last few weeks. Movies in the Park, Solo, A Star Wars Story, is actually going to be showing, screening for free at a couple of venues in Auckland over the next month or so. At Sturgis Park in Otahuhu in Auckland on Saturday the 30th of March from 5:30 to 9:45, and at the Riversdale Reserve in Avondale in Auckland on Friday the 12th of April from 4 p.m. So those are in association with the City Council Movies in the Park event, and I'll put links to that below this podcast so you can jump straight to get more details there. And the New Zealand Symphony Orchestra has its Star Wars in Concert events coming up in all of the major centres, the three major centres. So those events are screenings of the original trilogy movies, or at least Star Wars A New Hope and The Empire Strikes Back, in conjunction with the orchestra playing the entire soundtrack live in real time in conjunction with the movie. That has happened before in New Zealand in 2018, and everybody loved it. It went down extremely well. So they've got four events according to their website. Star Wars A New Hope will be screening in Auckland on the 4th of May and in Christchurch on the 3rd of August. And Star Wars The Empire Strikes Back will be screening in Wellington on the 28th of April and Auckland on the 5th of May. But once again, I'll put links below this podcast so that you can jump straight to that information. We've covered it on SWNZ, but you can also get more information on the NZSO website.
These events are sure to sell out, so don't delay if you want to grab tickets to those.
As far as I know, there are some tickets still available for most of them, based on what I've seen on social media, but they are very popular, and the last one did sell out as far as I know. Let's have a bit of a talk about the store reports, the things that we have noticed in the stores over the last little while. Quite high on the list because they are an eminently collectible product. Star Wars Kinder Surprise Toys have been showing up at the warehouse. This is a new set of collectibles that has been available in Europe probably late last year, but it's just shown up in New Zealand in 2019. So we're calling it the 2019 set locally. And in the past, we've seen the twist heads and the little characters in their little spaceships, toys that come in the chocolate eggs. This time round are little characters with launchers built into their base for knocking over targets. There's eight in the series. They're based on the Force Awakens characters, basically, and they're priced at $2 each. Galaxy of Adventures action figures have shown up at the warehouse, priced at $14 each. Four characters in the first wave, all major hero characters. These are packaged in clear plastic cylindrical tubes. They come with a miniature comic. Their action figures are basically repacks of stuff we have seen before, 5-point of articulation figures, but their intention is to introduce the younger generation, kids who don't have an action figure collection, to the main heroes and or villains of their Star Wars movies. I think they look quite neat in their cylindrical packaging. You can clearly see the figure. They stack really quite nicely, and they're kind of fun. If you have a favorite character, you might like to consider checking out these figures and or keeping them in their packaging. So there's at least a couple of other waves that have been announced in the US, and hopefully we'll see those locally as well. On SWNZ, we've talked during the last week about Star Wars Jandals by Havaianas, available at Buy Invite. They're priced at about $20 each. There's quite a wide range there. In particular, there's a series of four line art characters in these Jandals, available in a number of different sizes. Buy Invite is a discount retailer that you have to register with. We've got all those details on the SWNZ website. That's still on our front page at the time of this podcast going live.
It's a great site to check out for product that didn't necessarily hit major retailers in New Zealand. A lot of the stock is sourced from overseas retailers, so it's a great place to hit up to find stuff that's not available at local stores in New Zealand.
Yeah, so just to expand on that, so what Buy Invite is, as I understand it, is they get clearance product from international retailers that aren't able to sell it in their local distribution regions. They ship it off to another country at a seriously cut rate price, which means we do get stuff heavily discounted that wasn't necessarily available locally, and that is the case for these Star Wars jandals.
They do have a lot of apparel and accessories, a lot of great stuff for kids as well.
Yeah, lots of kids apparel, and homewares is the other main section. Star Wars geeky tiki mugs have shown up at Mighty Ape. These are Star Wars characters in a stylized tiki design that seem to be quite popular amongst people that have seen them. So four characters are available at Mighty Ape: Yoda, Darth Vader, Stormtrooper, Chewbacca, priced at $37 each.
They're quite a neat design style for drinkware, and they make a really neat display having them lined up in your kitchen. You can choose your favourite characters, you can have one for each member of your family. It's kind of neat. You can make up a set out of the ones that you like, or you can just collect them all.
The latest wave of Funko Pop vinyl figures is showing up around the country. I've noticed them in particular at Mighty Ape, but most places that stock Pop vinyl figures will inevitably have them. This is a return of the Jedi wave. It features, for instance, Princess Leia in her Ewok Village dress. There is a flocked version of a baby Ewok in a little basket. There are a couple of versions of Wicket the Ewok, including a large-scale 10-inch version. And a couple of other Return of the Jedi characters, as a Han Solo and a Lando Calrissian at least. It's worth mentioning that the latest wave of vintage collection figures are showing up at the warehouse. This is the wave that includes Klaatu as a Skiff Guard, Princess Leia in Boosh Disguise, Yak Face, Scarif Stormtrooper, and a Range Trooper from Solo: A Star Wars Story.
Unlike some of the earlier vintage collection waves, these ones do seem to disappear a little faster from the local stores. Certainly the stores near us, we have noticed that these figures have shifted a little faster than some of the other ones. So do check it out if you're looking for any of those to add to your own collection.
Yeah, it's a lot of original trilogy characters in this wave, Return of the Jedi characters, that are going down very well. I mean, everyone, that Yak Face figure is extremely cool, and he's got soft goods for his jacket. He's got, almost over articulated depending on your point of view, so he's extremely flexible and poseable, a very desirable character. But I personally think the Klaatu is quite cool, and the Princess Leia and Boosh looks really quite nice. Speaking of the vintage collection figures, we should jump back and talk about the Toy Fair and the things that were announced just in the last couple of weeks when the New York Toy Fair took place. I focused personally mainly on the Hasbro news that came out of that, although there were a couple of other producers that released stuff, but the Hasbro news was the most interesting. We heard about some upcoming lines that we hadn't previously heard about before, so this was the first time we heard or saw anything. Notably, they are going to be re-releasing what they're calling retro action figures. These are reproductions of some of the very first 1978 actual vintage hero figures, so Luke Skywalker, Darth Vader and co, reproductions of those vintage figures on vintage cards, but with a few subtle differences so that they can't be mistaken for actual vintage figures. Slight scale differences in the way the cards are printed, but quite a neat homage to the original toys that got many of us started in collecting. So at this point they've announced six figures plus a Tarkin who was never released in the 70s. He'll be available as a pack-in within a board game, and it'll be interesting to see if they do any more beyond that first wave of six plus the one exclusive pack-in.
It's an interesting route to go. Obviously, fans are going to be slightly conflicted about this. Other people will love the nostalgia of it. They get that it's a reproduction. And just to have these things in your home, not too many fans have the luxury of being able to collect a full range of Star Wars vintage carded figures, despite possibly even owning them and opening them as a kid. So having an affordable, achievable way to get that sort of nostalgia hit, knowing, yes, it's not the real vintage thing, but it still gives you that hit of nostalgia the way that it looks. And some people are a little miffed because obviously it is a copy of a vintage thing, but personally I think it just lets a new generation of collectors get it, and people that aren't able to collect the real original vintage ones.
I think they could end up being quite fun display pieces if you've got a character focus. It'd be fun having these in your collection. R2-D2 is not amongst the first wave release, which is a little disappointing because that's one I would actually personally quite like. And just that note that some people, there's been a little bit of a mixed reaction to these. Some people fear that they're going to spawn an increase in the risk of collecting fraud, where people are selling these off as actual vintage figures, but they do look different. The accessories and weapons do look different up close, granted, across the room they look fairly similar to the originals, but up close I don't think you can pass these off as actual vintage action figures. And they have described them as being slightly larger. That's only by a few percent. But some of you might remember that in 2010, we saw a Boba Fett with an actual rock-firing rocket pack released on a vintage card. That was a reproduction of the original Boba Fett. It came out locally and was actually quite well stocked locally at stores and farmers. And on the SWNZ website, we showed a comparison of that action figure against the actual vintage Boba Fett. And you can discern that subtle difference in size and that subtle difference in sculpting. And the weapons, they're a bit sharper. There's differences in the plastics. There's differences in the ways in which the paints are applied. So they are quite distinguishable.
But still look like the real thing when you're holding just one on its own.
Oh, absolutely.
The scale won't be that much so that you can tell like it's a sized up figure or something like that. And I'm personally fascinated by the idea of going back and revisiting a character that was never done in the original series. Not being a collector in the vintage era, it was before my time, but the idea of such a major character like Tarkin not being included, I always thought was a bit of an oddity when you think about the sheer number of total characters that were made and how many of them were sort of background cantina aliens and things like that, and having a character such as Tarkin. So I think it's kind of fun and a nod to the fans that this was kind of missing in the original lineup, and just seeing how they would sculpt something in the modern era, but of this character, but making him look like was made back in that era, which is kind of fun, and I think that's a neat idea.
Yeah, Tarkin's absolutely an interesting addition to this release, and obviously far less controversial, and I think probably the sort of thing a lot of people would, you know, vintage collectors would really, really go for. So yeah, I think it could be quite cool if they show us one or two, maybe not tons and tons, but one or two more of those really interesting characters that were missed out in the 70s and 80s. We got Pruneface, we got Walrus Man, but yeah, we didn't get Tarkin, and there's others along those lines that really could have been represented. And also at Toy Fair, they revealed the Hasbro exclusives that will be showing at Celebration. As I mentioned before, Star Wars Celebration will be taking place during the 20th anniversary of Episode 1, so we may see a little bit of a focus pertaining to Episode 1, The Phantom Menace. And these exclusive action figures are part of that. So there's going to be two, I believe they're 6-inch scale action figures, Darth Maul and Obi-Wan Kenobi, on replicas of the classic, immediately recognisable red Phantom Menace cards from 1999. They're obviously upscaled, they have a bit of a holographic finish, and I have to wonder if this isn't the start of something where we may see some more of these Episode 1 cards, perhaps, if this goes well, with characters re-sculpted in the 6-inch scale in the same way that we saw the vintage collection revitalized as 6-inch action figures.
It's an interesting test. Obviously, the Black Series started out as a bit of an experiment. Are people too entrenched in 4-inch to open up to the possibility of the 6-inch figures? But the massive popularity and success of Black Series has proved there is a market, even amongst people that collect other scales. So it's once you open that door to re-releasing figures upscaled to 6-inch on a replica 6-inch version of a backing card like the original figure came off, they could run wild. They could do a whole sort of nostalgia series of making 6-inch figures packaged on 6-inch scale backing cards. This is still scale-wise not too cumbersome to display in sealed packages, unlike the Gentle Giant jumbo figures, which you can't hang them on a wall. It just gets a little much because of the sheer size of a 4-inch figure scaled up to 12 inches with a full backing card. But I'm quite curious to see whether this is just the little first thing. They obviously did it for the anniversary set that came out, where they did sort of Vader with the big sort of display stand, and then you could buy a few of the other characters. But it'll be interesting to see how many other lines might they do. Obviously, a lot of people have nostalgia for vintage stuff, but then there are certain collectors that came into it in different eras. So
We're now at the 20-year mark since Episode 1, so nostalgia's starting to kick in for people where that was their first exposure to Star Wars.
It'll be interesting to see if they decide to expand on this idea and do replicas of some of the most beloved action figures from specific lines, where we see sort of like the Power of the Force 2 red and green cards, you know? That would be like really funny.
Imagine if they reduced the over-muscled Luke Skywalker and so forth on
That could be really funny, you know, in terms of like, because that was a resurgence of Star Wars collecting. So a lot of people would feel nostalgic about it, for better or for worse, for what the actual toys looked like. They still evoke a lot of nostalgia.
Oh, look, as bad as those figures were, when they were first announced that Kenner back then was going to be relaunching the Star Wars action figure line, as weird as the over-muscled Luke and Han and even Stormtrooper and Darth Vader were, that was a big deal. So, it'll be... Who knows? We'll see. Also, in Toy Fair news, we saw for the first time that there is going to be a Skiff and some action figures, such as a Skiff Guard 3-pack. Also, the Jabba's Palace, a little backdrop diorama set. They're doing these because the HasLab sail barge gigantic playset is due to ship literally any day now to those people that pre-ordered those. So the Skiff and the Skiff Guard 3-pack, I think, are Entertainment Earth exclusives, and they're available for pre-order now. We'll put some links to those down below as well.
I haven't seen a direct comparison of this new Skiff vehicle to see how it compares to the one that came out a number of years ago. It appears to come with a display stand, so you can make it hover above a surface, which will be an appealing option for fans of dioramas, and certainly if you do have the big sail barge, having these things to complete the environment set is going to be a really neat option.
Yeah, this Skiff is a new sculpt, and at first glance it appears to have a lot more detail. The last modern era Skiff used the molds from the vintage Skiff, and as cool as that was, it's starting to show its age compared to the sort of modern production methods and modern attention to detail. So this new one, I think, has got some really sort of exquisite detail and accuracy, which makes it quite a good accompanying piece to go with that giant sail barge if you're lucky enough to get your pre-order in for that. They have mentioned that sail barge will be available outside of the US, and they specifically mentioned a number of European countries and Australia. I didn't have anyone specifically or explicitly say New Zealand, but there is a small chance that we might actually be able to order that directly without having to go through freight forwarders at some point in the near future. We shall see.
We'll certainly be keeping our eyes and ears out for any further information about that in regards to New Zealand collectors.
So that's about it for this week. Thank you for listening in. Stay tuned to our website, stmnz.co.nz, for Star Wars news for New Zealanders and for our next weekly podcast episode. Follow our Facebook page and social media, and chat with other fans in the Star Wars New Zealand Facebook group and website forums. Thank you for listening.
May the Force be with you.